I'm Pooja Bavishi, and I'm the founder and CEO of Malai, and you're listening to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing.
Yeah. My name is Abhay Dandekar, and I share conversations with talented and interesting individuals linked to the global Indian and South Asian community. It's informal and informative, adding insights to our evolving cultural expressions, where each person can proudly say, trust me, I know what I'm doing. Hi, everyone. On this episode of Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing, a conversation with the founder and CEO of Malai, Pooja Bavishi. Stay tuned. So it's the late summer here in the US, and that usually is a time to savor the last days of warm weather and the last freedom before school starts. For me, I've been thinking a lot lately about how nostalgia around this time of year motivates me, both from celebrating and rekindling the past and harnessing those loyalties to spark new creativity and innovation. Now, if there's one summer loyalty that generally gets me motivated, it's ice cream, especially on a hot day, but truthfully for an enthusiast like me, any time is fine. Growing up, my favorite summer ice cream memories were a cheap but delicious Thrifty's ice cream cone in the San Fernando Valley, or the Naturals ice cream near Shivaji Park in Dadar. And every detail of the experience, from the anticipation of almost being there, to the melting drip of ice cream down the side, to the walk or drive back home with my family, is all imprinted quite deeply. Interestingly, for Pooja Bavishi, an Indian American who grew up in North Carolina, her own similar window into the evolving diasporic experience has taken expression through creating traditionally inspired and fresh new ice cream flavors and food memories as the founder and CEO of Malai. Pooja notes that she founded Malai in 2015 because desserts bring people joy, and she wanted to be in the business of delivering happiness. The framing for her Brooklyn-based company came through her own childhood filled with singular Indian spice and food blends from multiple generations, her educational training in business, and her spirited love of hospitality. Through the vehicle of ice cream, Pooja found herself experimenting and iterating and perfecting that elusive blend of both harnessed memory and creative innovation. What started as a simple ice cream cart has now turned into multiple growing brick-and-mortar venues and nationwide shipping. Best of all, Pooja's own ongoing Indian American story is woven securely into Malai's growth and thoughtfulness at every step. And that storytelling is most obvious in the menu, with flavors like kheer, pumpkin garam masala crumble, chikku, carrot halwa, seasonal flavors for Holi and Diwali like thandai or gogra, and even sweet roti and ghee. Now don't worry if your mouth is watering, you're probably in pretty good company. So Pooja and I had a chance to catch up and share a conversation about her own reflections on Malai and how much nostalgia has played a role in its success so far.
That's a great question. I think that nostalgia is actually the crux of the business. It is the impetus of how I started it. So I would say that there were always these two parallels that ran through my life from when I was a child going through high school, even into college and my early adulthood. I love desserts. I loved eating desserts. I loved hospitality. I loved the idea of sharing things, making things and sharing things. And parallel to that, I'm first generation Indian American and I grew up in North Carolina and I always had this deep, deep curiosity for my culture, for my parents' heritage and from where I came from. And how that fit into where I was today and where I was at that moment. And so I almost had this longing, and we can call it nostalgia, even though I didn't experience it myself, but I almost had this longing for my parents' upbringing and that I wanted to know what that was like and experience it for myself. And those two things always ran parallel for me. They always were true. And so I always knew, even when I pursued other career paths that I also was super passionate about, I always knew in the back of my mind that I wanted to start a dessert business. I wanted to be in that business of bringing people joy. And when I made ice cream for the first time, I was a baking and dessert making enthusiast, and I was doing that for so long, and I hadn't made ice cream during that entire time.
Yeah.
And I happened to make ice cream, and I flavored it with Indian spices.
Right.
And it was, you know, aha moments are pretty retrospective. Like you don't really know that it's happening when it's happening, but it really was this moment of, is this me in a product? Is this the story that I've always wanted to tell? And it was, it is. Like it feels like I'm able, with Malai, for the first time, I'm able to be my complete self. You cannot get more Americana than ice cream.
Yeah.
Everyone has this ice cream memory. And so everyone has this ice cream memory rooted in nostalgia. And I'm presenting these flavors that are rooted in nostalgia for me. And that's the connection. And I think that food is really powerful in that way, that even though I'm coming from this perspective of being an Indian American, growing up in North Carolina and presenting flavors that seem so like memory driven for me, it'll still evoke a memory in you. And I think that that's so powerful.
Yeah. I mean, I love this, the blend of sort of like hospitality and nostalgia together, sort of merging those, both those lanes and kind of crystallizing in a way. Especially for you. Do you remember that first time making ice cream? Do you remember what that was like? And was how'd you feel right after? And especially with that same sort of conversation in mind, do you remember that sort of what that moment felt like?
Yeah, I made ice cream. I held an annual vegetarian Friendsgiving. Okay. And I always made the dessert for it. And for the first time, I decided to make ice cream to go along with the dessert. So honestly, you know, even though I have these very deep-rooted ice cream memories, and some of them have Indian flavors and some of them are at TCBY, right? Like it's again, this really like blend of cultures. When I think about my preferred desserts, preferred sweet things, ice cream would not be on the top of the list. It was very supplemental for me. It was like very much like a la mode. And so I had made desserts to go for this Friendsgiving, and I decided to make ice creams to go along with it. I had an ice cream maker. Like I said, I was such an enthusiast and a hobbyist that I had all of these pieces of equipment. So I made ice cream, and it was pretty last minute. And me and my sister always joke that wherever we moved to, from apartment to apartment, my mom would stock one side of our kitchen with all of our comfort foods, all the spices, all the pulses, all the lentils, all of those things. And we always called it the Indian side, me and my sister. And so I pulled these two spices from the Indian side and flavored it. And it wasn't like this conscious decision. It wasn't like, I'm going to make Indian-inspired ice cream. For me, it wasn't Indian versus not, even though I called it the Indian side. Like it was, everything was,
just felt
it was
natural.
All normal. It was all natural. Yeah. Right, exactly. And so I flavored it with spices. And it was one ginger, one star anise. It wasn't even that fancy. And I just remember my friends being like, we've never had anything like this before. And I was in business school at the time. And so like I, you know, my business school mind was like churning and in churning.
Right. Good one.
Yeah, thank you. was, you know, so I like was starting to think about gaps in the market, and it made me realize that like Indian flavored ice cream, however we want to kind of categorize it, had been completely and totally exoticized in this country.
Yeah.
Right? Like you only get it at ethnic markets, and like kind of alongside that, ice cream is one of the only food categories where you go into a shop and you expect to see certain flavors. It has remained largely unchanged for decades.
Sure.
And so like I started thinking about the fact that like, why is that? Why isn't it normal to see a pint of masala chai ice cream in your grocery store? Why does that feel different? You know, like why does that feel otherized? And that I realized was me telling my story.
Yeah.
Right? That like I was never, you know, I never wanted to be, you know, the American girl in an Indian crowd and the Indian girl in America. I was always everything.
Yeah.
That was always the case. Just like everyone lives a hybrid lifestyle, right?
Yeah.
And it became so clear to me that like, that what I wanted to do was change the way ice cream is perceived. Like, let's change it completely. And then that other parallel is really that hospitality, making great food. And so that micro goal became that unless you're me and you eat ice cream every single day, ice cream is a special treat,
yeah.
right? You have it once a week, maybe once a month. I don't know. I'm not here to judge.
Yeah, but, right. Yep.
But you're going to treat yourself, then let's make the best quality product out there. Let's source sustainably. Let's source ethically. Let's make a better product for our end consumer so they want to spend that time with us. They want to spend that moment of joy with us.
You know, you bring up something that's so first off, wow, it's sort of like, it's not just an aha moment, but it's more of a kind of signature expression from that first ice cream moment. And then, you know, it helps that, you know, the churn was there from business school and you're constantly sort of thinking about that. So much of what we're talking about with nostalgia includes sort of gathering memory, gathering stories, putting it into a product, and now sort of seeing that blossom and emerge. I'm curious for you and also the story of a business or a company or an entrepreneur also involves, you know, other things as well. So I'm curious for you, what did you actually have to let go of to in fact allow for Malai to succeed and blossom as well? What were some of the things that maybe you had to unlearn in sort of getting this off the ground?
What a great question. I think that there's a couple of things, right? Like I think that from the Malai perspective, like this was 2015 when I started Malai, and that's now eight years ago. I don't even know. Is that yeah. 8 years ago? Yeah. and even 8 years, like there's been a lot of change in how consumers think about these flavors, even in the past 8 years. So one of the flavors that I wanted to absolutely have on the roster is a rose flavored ice cream. It's just so ubiquitous to my growing up and to a lot of South Asians. It's such a common flavor. It's like our vanilla. And I actually have a very distinct memory of this. And I was just like, I don't think that, you know, like non-South Asian crowds are ready for this. Like rose and ice cream, they're going yeah. to think that it's different and like perfume-like and right. all of those things. And I think that that's what I had to, my preconceived notions of kind of what the market will be like, what my audience is. Right when I started, I think that that's really what I had to let go of, because rose with cinnamon roasted almonds has been our number one SKU from 2015 to this day. It is yeah. the only one of our 50 flavors that never comes off the menu. And it is wild to me that I, based on a whim that I thought, just this stereotype that I thought, I almost didn't even debut the flavor. And yeah. I think that that's crazy. And I think that that's, you have to test everything. I think that that's really what I learned from that. You have to test everything. I think from a personal standpoint, though, I didn't really realize how hard this would be. And it's one of those things that, like, you know, that a lot of people say that, like, if I knew how hard it would be to start and run a business, I would never do it, right? right. Ignorance is bliss.
You'd be doing something else, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I think that I am constantly reminded that it doesn't get easier, but your resilience grows stronger. And so, like, I think that was something I was surprised of within myself, of how strong I actually am and how much I can get through. And I think I'm going to continuously be tested with that, honestly, as we grow. Like, this year has been a really incredibly tough year for us, even sure. though it's been our biggest year so far.
But there are different challenges
challenges, yeah. and the goalposts keep changing, and to keep yeah. up with that, I was kind of surprised to see that within myself too.
Were you surprised, and did you have to sort of like relearn how fast those change, or like how in fact to adjust based on, you know, different market pressures, or for that matter, just even the creativity that you have, like sort of like expecting the unexpected and in fact being much more prepared for change, sounds like too.
I think that in terms of what the market wants and market pressure, honestly, if we didn't have COVID in between, I think I would feel it a lot more. But I think that COVID was such a game changer for every single food industry. for every single business in the food industry, because we just had to survive. We just had to get through the next day. We just had to make sure there was enough money in our bank account to, you know, to do X, Y, and Z. And when you're in, when you're thrown into survival mode without any kind of warning, right? Like, I think that, you know, in other circumstances, obviously things are thrown at you all the time when you're running a business. But in other circumstances, you have an inkling of what's coming. You, like in other aspects of the business, I haven't, you know, like, okay, maybe this won't go exactly as planned, and I will know that. So I can plan for an option B. With COVID, I remember March 11th. I will never forget that day ever.
Yeah.
Like it was the longest day of my life. And I remember that every single person in my network, every single entrepreneur in my network were just calling each other being like, are we shutting down? And that Monday, there was a mandate that we had to shut down. And I just, like those 4 days, I just remember thinking, what's going to happen? Like, I have no control over what's going to happen. And because of that, I think that when you have to survive like that, you actually let go of market pressures. And instead, it's just like, this is what I want to do. This is what we're good at. And this is how we're going to get our message across. And I think that that actually made us thrive during COVID and has sustained us beyond as well.
You're listening to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing. After a quick break, we'll come back to our conversation with Pooja Bavishi. Stay tuned. Conversation. It's the antidote to apathy and the catalyst for relationships. I'm Abhay Dandekar, and I share conversations with global Indians and South Asians so everyone can say, trust me, I know what I'm doing. New episodes weekly, wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Sigda Sor, the founder and CEO of The Juggernaut, and you're listening to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing.
Welcome back to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing. Let's rejoin our conversation now with the founder and CEO of Malai, Pooja Bavishi.
I will tell you, I know one thing that you guys are good at for sure, and that is the like you mentioned, the variety of flavors. So not just the rose-centered things, but I mean, you made an ice cream flavor out of puranpuri, and I'm just so fascinated. And not to mention, you know, of course, the, you know, Gazer Halwa and even the Madam Vice Presidents and getting creative like that. Among the things that not only you had to sort of unlearn and let go of, but actually now gather and gain, that's also a tremendous feat of execution, right? I mean, being able to sort of like take something and you know, place it out there for an audience, for a consumer base. What has that very, you know, almost personal process of creativity actually taught you about leading a team?
Well, it is very personal. Like this whole entire right. business is personal. It's about me telling stories, and we're very intentional about that. Like, I'm never going to put out a flavor just because there's a trend happening or there, right. you know? And I think that when the team sees how much of myself is in every single one of these flavors, they take ownership over that too. And they feel a personal connection to it too. And I think like those really sustaining long-term team members feel an ownership over Malai as much as I do. And I think that that's what the beauty of a small business is that everyone is needed to, especially in a small business, when you don't have systems and you don't have bureaucracy and you don't have these like hierarchies right. and stuff like that. And everyone's just all hands on deck. And we see the press coming in and we see, you know, how hard it is. And we see that like we have to push through a really busy season, but we see how much our customers are connecting to these flavors. That's all of us. Yeah. It may come from, like I said, like it's from my perspective, but it's going to evoke something in you too. And I think that the team feels that way too. And they feel an ownership and they want to find their connection to their product and to the process and to the company.
Have there been any, you know, sort of flavors that just simply didn't make it? Maybe from, you know, your own personal creativity, to, you know, the team or even to consumers, but ones that maybe simply didn't work, which you and everyone else really were hoping would work.
Yeah, always. Yeah. there's always that.
Yeah.
I will say that that happened a lot more early on than it does right now. And the reason for that is I think that, you know, back to your first question of, you know, expectations and what, how to kind of deal with that. I think at first I was trying to, just like I almost didn't launch the Rose, I was trying to kind of fit into buckets. Yeah. That first kind of proof of concept summer, I really was really intentional about making a masala chai ice cream based on my mom's chai recipe making a gajar halva, carrot halva ice cream, you know, again, based on recipes that I grew up with. I also was like, what do people know? And I remember making a peanut butter curry ice cream. And I will say, this sounds so cliche and this sounds so, you know, out there, but there wasn't a connection to it. I didn't feel a connection to it. And I think that that really comes through. It really, really does. And even in the way that we're talking about the product, and it didn't land. Of course it didn't. It sounds pretty bad.
You know? Well, you almost need a team to sort of like get those fresh set of eyes on it, help with sort of like reiterating or reaffirming decisions about connection and, you know, how they resonate with not just you personally, but, you know, being able to see that as sort of like a collective even.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, at this point, I'm able to, you know, I used to develop the recipes and hand our kitchen team recipes and they would execute. At this point, we you know, Malai has built such a great team that I'm able to just kind of vision out what I want. Like, this is how I'm seeing this with just a, like, I was like, just like I say stuff like slightly cardamomed and like my head of production is able to be like, okay, got it.
Like, I got it.
Like, she always makes fun of me that, like, she's like, you never want like a fourth of a teaspoon or like a half a teaspoon. You want it in between. And I was like, I do want it in between. And so, like, just like knowing each other and understanding these, like, they've been with us, so they understand these flavors as well.
Yeah.
They're able to like present a couple of different options and we're able to iterate based on that.
I will say that that sounds like it doesn't get more Indian than that, by the way, because like you ask any one of our, you know, really expert Indian cooks, you know, they won't necessarily always have the measurements in mind, but probably a little bit more of the feel in mind.
Yeah, exactly. They're not happy with me when I say stuff like that.
Right. The precision perhaps is in the mind. I will say this. I've been thinking a lot about even just the name. I mean, we were mentioning, you know, the sort of, you know, the concept, but, you know, even the name Malai, of course, like, you know, evoking that top layer of cream. And I was thinking about it this way, that sort of like it's that top layer after you've gone through the process of boiling and cooling and, of course, you know, the differences between buffalo milk and cow's milk and, you know, how that sort of feels. And I was also thinking about the company's line that, you know, it's a blend of cream and culture. And I love that this whole sort of like idea in a way, how much of this is actually just simply a proxy or reflective of your own story? I mean, you know, in a way, like, is this kind of a mirror into, you know, you personally as well?
Well, I think the entire company is a mirror of me personally. And I think that, like, you know, we've talked a lot about internally, our puja and Malai, one and the same. And the fact is that it's not. Malai is a reflection of the story that, a part of my story, right? Like, it's not even my complete story, but it's a way for me to tell a part of my story and connect with others. And I think that that's so special. Yeah. But Malai is its own thing. And Malai is a decadent blend of cream and culture. And it, like, the way, exactly what you said, like, even when I was growing up, I remember being like 3 or 4 years old and my mom just had this habit, even though milk was pasteurized here and that's how you bought it. My mom had this habit from India of boiling the milk.
Yeah.
And so here it's, because milk is homogenized, you don't actually get that much Malai when you boil milk, but there's a little bit that comes. And I remember, I always remember her like skimming it off, putting it in a little bowl and handing it to me. And I loved it. It was the best. It was such a great treat. Right. And for me, it just, it, it's, it's that top layer of cream. It's not the cream. It's right, right. The best part of it.
Yeah.
Right. And that to me is what this company is. It's the best. I think that that's really important to note too, that, you know, I've entered an extremely saturated category.
Right.
There are many great ice cream options out there. I'm a customer of so many of them. I certainly go out and buy my cookies and cream, and I buy my coffee ice cream, and I love Jenny's, and I love, you know, like I am a fan of so many of these ice creams.
When you think about that idea though, the sort of like cream of the cream, right? That super top layer and then the process that went into it, right? The boiling, the cooling, and even just using ice cream, you know, as a foundational base for experimenting. You know, is that you? Have you gone through yourself that sort of boiling and cooling process and kind of now in the process of experimenting with a foundation and iterating and getting better at it?
If it's me, I'm still going through it. I'm still boiling. It's still happening. And I think that that's what I was talking about before, that like, it's still a growth process. It's still, it's still all new, but different things are all new to me, right? And so every single time we have this challenge, we're going through that and we're rising to the top. Mm. But what I was saying is that I truly, in every part of my being, believe that Malai is the best ice cream out there. Like, I truly believe that. I had a cone of our cardamom pistachio crumble. I DoorDashed it to myself yesterday because that's what I wanted, right? Like, and so it's not only that, like, we've gone through this process to get here, and I've gone through this process to get here. And certainly this has been a really difficult and rewarding journey all wrapped into one. But at the end of that, I get to say that I make the best ice cream out there.
Hey, and not just say, I hope shout it as well, right?
Absolutely.
And the excitement around that, you know, also kind of revolves so much around storytelling and the stories you must hear back from people who are experiencing this. What have been some of those surprises? And maybe even some of the common things that you hear as far as storytelling experiences that have kind of come directly from Malai as it's evolved and, you know, gone through this whole process.
What I love most about being in the food business is that Malai gets to be a part of someone's memories, someone's growing up, someone's childhood. That's so special, right? Like there's this 3-year-old kid, his name is Luca, and he comes every single day to Malai in the summer. And he comes in and he's like, Pooja, I'm going to get the apricot mace. Every single day, that's what he says. And he comes in with his grandparents, and he comes in with his parents, and he comes in with his aunts. And every single one of those grown-ups is so surprised that every single person at the store knows who he is, because he's our regular. And I love knowing that in 10, 15, however many years, Malai's going to be what he thinks about his childhood. I think that that's so special.
I asked this once to someone who is a fashion designer, where they were really passionate about creating Indian fashion. But, you know, typically we're wearing those kinds of outfits and creations during very special occasions. Yeah. Have you ever had those unique sort of stories about Malai that have been perhaps different, right? So they don't necessarily, they're not always, you know, special heartwarming memories. They might be offering comfort. They might be actually offering solace, not always during those joyful times either, that, you know, people are finding, you know, kind of comfort and home and solace, you know, in Malai in a slightly different way.
Yeah, we have an entire folder in our email just with customer emails being like, you know, whether they were going through a sickness and Malai comforted them, or they were like a new immigrant to the United States and they found a home in Malai and in Malai's products. You know, like, I think in general, ice cream has that comforting feeling, but our flavors are offering something a little bit different. And I do, absolutely. I think that that Malai is there for people in moments of like fun summer and, you know, like part of people's memories. And I also think that like this right. is what we are in people's lives. And it's special. But I think that like knowing that, but like we also have a very day-to-day responsibility as well, right? Which is like our locals or our nationwide shipping or just getting product on, you know, like on our store shelves and stuff like that. And so that's why that balance is really important. And that's why we go through those emails, because we need to be reminded that this is what we mean in people's lives, even though our day-to-day is literally churning, like literally putting milk and cream together, literally scooping ice cream, dealing with freezers, dealing with broken freezers, dealing with dry ice. When we're doing that day-to-day slog, it's really important to remember that.
Almost, you know, kind of daily grounding compass for the mission and sort of like what keeps it purposeful, you know, for your entire team. I live a few miles from the original Pete's, you know, shop here in Berkeley for coffee. And I'm imagining the same sort of thing exists in Seattle with Starbucks or something like that. I mean, of course, you ship nationwide, but your physical presence is in Brooklyn and Manhattan. What's the value and, you know, kind of the relationship, almost that sort of like special relationship about being a location fixture, and even that sort of intimacy of being in a sort of a local exclusive thing where, you know, people like Luca can come in and be regulars and they can have that sort of experience on an ongoing basis. How is that felt as far as the texture of developing this?
Well, I should start by saying that our goal is to expand our brick and mortars more, like, you know, throughout the country. And we already have one in the works outside of New York City, which is very exciting. I know that there's a lot of research and articles out there about brick and mortar kind of dying. But I think what brick and mortar is what's so special about small business. You have an anchor. You have a place where people can experience your brand. For them, it's their safe space. It's their comfort. They can go there and know that they can be treated really well. They get a really delicious ice cream cone. They have a moment where they can spend with their friends and family. Malai, our flagship location, has been a scene for first dates that have led to 4 marriages.
Fantastic.
That is so cool, right? So like it's not only a Luca who comes in every day, but it's the origin story for relationships.
Right.
Like that's amazing.
Yeah.
And so I think that it's really interesting. I didn't want a brick and mortar when I started Malai.
Yeah.
When I started Malai, I really envisioned it as a grocery business, nationwide shipping. And the reason for that is that I didn't want to be based on service.
Yeah.
But I started thinking about that a little bit more. And like, I got my start at fairs and markets in New York City. So people would come and meet me and they would, you know, talk to me and have a scoop. And I started thinking about that and my grandmother in India who spoke 0 words of English. And we would have friends go to India on their own and they would want to stop by our grandparents' house. And so we would, you know, obviously tell them to, and they would come out saying that like my grandmother was the warmest person they've ever met. They felt so loved. And like, how did she do that without language? And I realized that like hospitality really, it's across so many things, including food. Right? Like it's how you feed someone, it's how you make someone feel, and it's how like the space is kind of how you welcome them into your space.
Yeah. How you fill that up, perhaps.
How you fill that up. And I realize that if I'm doing this to honor my culture, then that's a part of it too. And so when the idea of a brick and mortar came about, I realized that like I don't want just our product to be our differentiator. It's really like I want that hospitality that I love so much growing up to be a differentiator as well.
You're listening to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing. After a quick break, we'll come back to our conversation with Pooja Bavishi. Stay tuned. Every story told is a lesson learned, and every lesson learned is a story waiting to be told. I'm Abhay Dandekar, and I share conversations with global Indians and South Asians so everyone can say, trust me, I know what I'm doing. New episodes weekly, wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Hey, this is Cal Penn. I'm an actor, author, former public servant, and you're listening to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing.
Hi there, I'm Abhay Dandekar, and you're listening to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing. Let's rejoin our conversation now with the CEO and founder of Malai, Pooja Bhavishi.
I'm imagining that that probably also is, there are elements of all the things that you've experienced, right? I mean, the story you just told about your grandmother, the idea of you being at grocery stores and fairs, probably a little bit of North Carolina and your upbringing there as well. And when you think about expanding or going to more brick and mortar spots or actually scaling and spreading occurs as sort of like a natural phenomenon in a business, is there some inherent risk to sort of changing the intimacy of that relationship and sort of perhaps, I mean, that maybe is a challenge, right? To like, you know, keep that spirit
that's
going.
That is exactly right? What I was going to say. That's our challenge and that's what we need to overcome, right? I think that it would be a disservice to the best ice cream in the world to keep it just in New York.
Yeah.
Right? Like we need to spread it to as many people as possible. There's a huge market for our products. Like our nationwide shipping has shown us that. And to experience Malai firsthand in the store, to go and visit yourself, is a different experience than getting it shipped to you. And so that is my problem. Right? That is my problem to overcome. That's a me problem, as I like to say. That's not a customer problem. That's something that it's my challenge.
Sure.
And am I really conscious of it? And am I concerned? Absolutely. Right? Like I think that growth in general, even when we moved from the cart to, you know, to the store, I remember our regular customers from the cart being like, oh, you don't scoop anymore?
Right, right.
And like, I was just like, oh, well, of course not. The reason why we got here is because I stopped scooping, you know? And I think that people want a connection to the brand. They want to know what's behind it. And as long as we are really transparent about that, and we continue to do what we do best, which is plain and simple, to tell stories through food, we're going to keep that connection with our customers.
You've centered this business around a taste, right? And particularly a taste of India and going on that story. Why do you think Indian culture has staying power? Why does Indian culture have staying power for the American consumer in 2023? I'll tell you the reason I even thought about this in the first place. Back in the 80s, I just remember there was like a 3 or 4 year period where like everything in American culture was focused on the popularity of Australia for like a few years, right? There was music, there were shows, there were just like, you know, everything in the zeitgeist seemed like it was flowing from Australia. And I think we've had ebbs and flows of that for Indian culture, but I'm just so curious, like how and why should Indian culture, particularly as it relates back to Malai, how should that have kind of staying power for consumers?
So I don't think that Malai is going off of a trend that's happening. I do think that there are some things that have popped up, turmeric, yoga,
right,
Ayurvedic, you know, foods. Like I think that those things are bleeding into more mainstream American culture. I think that what I'm trying to do with Malai is not feed into things that are already trending, but rather change the way people are thinking about it, right? That it's not that like, okay, we have a turmeric ice cream because this population loves turmeric. It's not that. It's really that I had haldi doodh when I grew up. And to me, like that really equated being sick. And so I had it when I was sick and it was very comforting for me. And My mom still, like, when I get a cold or anything like that, she's like, just have some of your ice cream. Just have some of your turmeric ice cream to make yourself feel better.
That's the panacea, right? It'll fix everything.
Yeah, exactly. It's not a fleeting moment that we're trying to get in on and capture. Rather, we're trying to sustain this and say that our customers, we have a dual market, right? We have the South Asians, we have the diaspora crowd.
Yeah.
Who love and support Malai because they understand the flavors. And we have the non-diaspora crowd who love and support Malai because they haven't seen the flavors before. And I think that it's as simple as that.
Yeah.
That people love a good product. They want to support a company that's doing good things. And they feel a connection to it. I think it's not about capitalizing on a moment. And we're not doing that.
You know, in thinking about that, when you are also therefore innovating and you're bringing newness and freshness, even for the diasporic crowd or even the non-diasporic crowd who's never necessarily experienced some of this, is that innovation and diversity of a portfolio needed? And how do you balance that with perhaps mastery of single products or, you know, being able to just say, hey, look, our perfection lies in this gulab jam cake or the ice cream flavor. I mean, how have you been able to balance sort of like this wonderful expanse of creativity with, you know, trying to make sure that we evoke mastery of a particular product?
Yeah, I have a couple of things to say about this. So the first thing is that it's really interesting that you brought up the gulab jamun cake because we very early on, I called them saffron syrup soaked cakes because I really didn't want to call it gulab jamun because people wouldn't know what gulab jamun is. I have changed that completely.
Right.
Right? Like, it doesn't matter. This is where we stand. Gulab jamun is my inspiration. Gulab jamun is what I'm going to call it. And I will explain to you what it is. It's a saffron syrup soaked cake. Right? But I don't need to lay it out. So that's something that we're very conscious of now, that we don't do that, right? We make sure. The other thing is that we're not copying flavors that already exist. So like these flavors don't already exist in India. I'm actually thinking of completely new flavors and turning them into ice cream. So like we have this year's Diwali collection, which we've done for years. We've done since the start of Malai, right? Like I to go back to capitalizing on a moment, that's Diwali, something that I celebrated growing up. So why not have a celebration around that at Malai?
Absolutely.
And it's our biggest launch of the year. This year's Diwali collection is all ice creams based on a dessert. And so like these ice creams just flat out don't exist. These ice cream flavors don't exist. So it's innovating not only for that non-diaspora crowd, but also for the diaspora crowd that's looking for something new, right? They also, I think our generation is excited to support South Asian owned businesses because it's a different perspective on things that have already existed. So yeah, I think that like our expertise does lie in the fact that we're continuously innovating and we're continuously innovating within a single product. That said, we have diversified into other products. So we introduced Kulfi Pops, which, you know, like it happened to be our most successful product launch to date after our ice cream, after our initial ice cream, because people really associate, you know, the word Malai with Kulfi. And so for us to do it our own way and for us to like be able to showcase it our own way, it again is highlighting and bringing new awareness to something that has already existed and something that we need to change the way that we're thinking about it in this country. It's not Indian ice cream. It's ice cream.
Yep.
You know, and it's ice cream that has these really great flavors that I may have never heard of before. But man, that's good, is what I want people to say.
Exactly, right? I mean, like, and at the end, I think that likely, I imagine that's really where success lies, right? That like people have that aha moment of something that's just new and inspiring and very singular. And particularly for, you know, a South Asian American diaspora that continues to evolve, evolving with it is probably, you know, just as important as anything else. You know, thinking again about that nostalgia and something you mentioned just was so resonant for me. Certainly the idea of evoking memories and thinking back to your own story and your own childhood and people then gravitating towards that and feeling like home And then, of course, the story of Luca, the three-year-old who's your regular every single day. When you think about new nostalgia, when you think about new memories that are being made, and you think about perhaps the people who are experiencing your ice cream for the very first time, and whether or not they've actually had memories of these flavors or the new flavors, now they're creating new memories. How do you hope people feel when they've had that first taste, that first bite? And perhaps what emails are you hoping to receive from them?
I think it's you know, if we're talking about people who have never had these flavors, which is hopefully everyone, right?
Right.
It's surprise and delight. Oh, that's so good. I'm so glad I came here.
Yeah.
I walked in and I was greeted by this, like, this really friendly person who told me that I should try every single flavor. We don't put a limit on the number of samples you get.
Right.
Right. I can try every single flavor here. And he led me through buying this flavor and this flavor. And it reminded me of my grandmother's orange, my Italian grandmother's orange and anise cookies. Yeah. And I felt like I was at home.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's the complete package here, right? That, right, like, every single aspect of Malai is intentional. Everything, the design, the script that we give our front of house people, the intention with which we hire our scoopers and know that they're going to give such great service, the feeling of kind of going through the process and tasting and recognizing and knowing and liking and choosing. I think all of that is a part of, and then enjoying your ice cream, then flat out enjoying your ice cream and knowing that you want to return.
I'm imagining that there are some people who might be able to articulate all of those things. And then there are some people who might just, you know, not necessarily have words for that, because that indescribable feeling of sort of joy and home is not always something that's so easy to capture as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know,
I'm not sure if there's more to say beyond that, but.
Well, it might even just be like that customer who sees me working at the store and they just like come up and say, "Are you Pooja? We saw you on Instagram. I just wanted to say thank you."
Yeah.
Like even that, like I am so happy. Like that joy that brings me hasn't changed in 8 years.
Yeah.
Like that's still like seeing Luca every day is still much that's what I live for, right? I love that because that's the power of the product.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, seeing that joy, those many first dates, people coming in and expressing their joy and happiness, and even those who are, you know, remain speechless after their first bites, you know, it's all spelling success and you're bringing it to our community. Pooja, thank you so much for sharing all of this, and what a lovely conversation. I hope we can visit with you again down the road.
Thank you so much. I really enjoyed the conversation. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Pooja. And you can learn more at malai.co. And speaking of nostalgia, a huge thank you to Bob Barker for your animal activism and for keeping my grandparents and me company on so many summer mornings. Thank you again for listening to Trust Me, I Know What I'm Doing, and sharing and offering any kind review or rating. Till next time, I'm Abhay Dandekar.